Get on the grid.
I got great news, guys.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
News. Thanks, Yang. Hey, everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your Sports Grid News and Betting Update. Get on the grid, everybody. The Atlanta Braves' magic number down to 1, and it was a historic win to boot. Atlanta just trimming Philly 5-4 this afternoon, and 21-year-old Ronald Acuña Jr. hit his 40th dinger. He comes the second youngest player to hit 40 home runs in MLB history. He's also just 30 stolen bags away from an elite 40-40 club. Soroka the win, Nola the loss, Melanson, he gets the saves for the Braves. Boston trims San Fran 5-4, Rodriguez taking the win, Bumgarner the loss. Workman gets the save, and Xander Bogaerts led the way. 3 RBI in the win for the Bo Sox. Pittsburgh and Seattle, man, the Mariners sweep away the Pirates with a 6-5 win in 11 innings. And a big game going on in Milwaukee, San Diego playing them, and the Brewers lead right now 1-0, bottom 3. The MLB has placed Yankees pitcher Domingo Germán on administrative leave under the MLB joint MLBPA domestic violence policy. The 27-year-old has been now placed on the restricted list. An official from the commissioner's office saw Germán slap his girlfriend in a public setting during an argument. The Yankees have signed right-hander Michael King to replace him on the 25-man roster. MLB games on tap and betting lines for tonight. 6:35 action. Angels and Yankees. Yankees minus 280. Total 9. Heaney versus Tanaka. 7:05. Toronto. Big comeback last night. Minus 25 at Baltimore. 10.5. K versus Yanoa. 7:15 action. Detroit at Cleveland. Indians minus 360. 8.5. Norris and Clevenger. St. Louis at Chicago. Pick 'em. 7 is your total. Flaherty and Hendricks. And at 7:40, last game of the night, KC at Minnesota. Twins minus 260. 10.5. Montgomery versus Gibson Guitars. Jalen Ramsey doesn't mind suiting up for the Jags tonight, but sources telling ESPN's Josina Anderson, the cornerback, doesn't anticipate being a Jaguar by Sunday. Tons of teams have been blowing up Jacksonville phone lines inquiring about a potential deal for Ramsey. So far, these reported teams, KC, Philly, Baltimore, Oakland, Minny, and Seattle, all made substantial inquiries about the two-time Pro Bowler. NFL Thursday night or 8:20 kickoff, those Jags in action. Hosting Tennessee, the Titans laying 1.5 on the road. Low total, 38.5. Money line, Titans minus 125. Jags plus 105. First quarter line, Titans minus a half. Total 7 flat. First half line, Titans minus a half. Total 17. It gets worse for the 0-2 Panthers. Cam Newton missed his second straight practice today, and he nurses that mid-foot sprain. With very little progress made, Newton now appears totally doubtful and unlikely to be medically cleared for week 3 versus Arizona. The former MVP was spotted in that walking boot on Wednesday. He suffered the third injury in the preseason, and he re-aggravated it in week number 2 versus Tampa Bay last Thursday night's game. It looks more and more like second-year undrafted quarterback Kyle Allen will get the call. He played in 2 games last season and threw 2 touchdown passes in a week 17 win for the Saints. He can still play, but AB has lost some big money in endorsements. Nike has just ended its sponsorship with the controversial and outspoken wide receiver Antonio Brown. Brown, due to all his off-field drama, lost an endorsement deal with another helmet manufacturer as well, Zenith. Daniel Jones will have a weapon back when he makes his NFL regular season debut this Sunday at Tampa Bay. Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard is expected to clear concussion protocol, according to head coach Pat Shurmur. Shepard missed the Week 2 loss to Buffalo, but practiced in a non-contact jersey on Wednesday. He was relied on as Jones' top target against the Bucs, because Golden Tate, he still has 2 more games to serve for that PED suspension. Miami Dolphins making a switch at quarterback. Josh Rosen will get the start versus Dallas. Fitzy, you're now the number 2 guy. We got a huge signing in the NHL. Ottawa Senators locking up one of the league's top young blue liners, Thomas Chabot, 8 years, $64 million. The 22-year-old made him the 5th highest paid defenseman in the league. He has 14 goals and 55 points for a bad Ottawa team last year in 70 games. WNBA playoffs, LA at Connecticut, 6:30 tip. Connecticut minus 1.5, total 162. Suns up 1-0 in that series. 8:30, Vegas at Washington. Washington minus 10, total 178. Mystics lead 1-0 there. College action football tonight. Houston Cougars at Tulane. Tulane minus 5, total 57. Golf action, round 1 of the Sanderson Farms in a rain delay. But Tom Hoagie Sandwich, my Thursday warrior, he leads right now at 8-under with a 64 European Tour. We got another Thursday warrior on the card. England's Matt Wallace, hopefully he can hold on for me, leads at minus 7 after the first round. All the stars there in England. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morenci hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio live from the Sports Grid studio at the Meadowlands. We'll talk football with our buddy Whale Capper in hour 1. It's hour 1 of Red Heat and Rage on Sports Grid, and it's coming up next.
All you have.
have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Red Heat and Rage has begun. I am Morenci at the Sports Grid Studios. The countdown is on. Thursday night football. It might not be the most glamorous matchup, but we're going to be betting it anyway. So we can bitch about it or we can break it down and handicap it. Whale Capper will step up. And it's a good thing we have a smart guy like Whale Capper to help us out with such a difficult game, because Whale Capper is a very smart man. Ricky Sanders, also very sharp. Ricky Sanders will join us. We'll talk some DFS tonight. We'll correlate that with the props. I've been looking at the props all day long, actually, and I still like a few of these that are up on the board right now. The Raging Redhead, Cam Store. What's up, Cam?
What's happening, Gabe? Good start to the day. Just rode the fade Pittsburgh train. Seattle sweeps away Pittsburgh as a dog, so a good start to the day. Hopefully the ponies will go well, and you say put your money where your mouth is, Gabe. I've been thinking about this game long and hard tonight. I did the four-banger teaser. Jacksonville under, Jacksonville over, Tennessee over, Tennessee under. A four-banger, buddy. I'm on all. Everything. Middle job.
Wow.
That's how we're attacking it.
Looking
yeah.
for
Not
the
hard.
Middle job, man.
Yeah, only 50, 60
this,
bucks, but you know what?
This game
I think this
feels
game,
like it,
yes, it feels close, very close. And
how's the middle feel?
Get over 31, 31 and a half. I think we can get there, Gabe. I think it's a middle job. Yeah, tonight's game. Hoping for everything to come in.
Yeah, totals are difficult in a National Football League. Yes.
They are.
A lot of times the games that are supposed to be high scoring aren't. The games that are supposed to be low scoring end up opening up. Last year they played to the unders. You know, well, they split, actually. It was 9-6 and 30-9. And the total was 37.5 when it was 30-9. So that game actually did go over. That was the game, I don't know if you remember, but Derrick Henry went off that night for 238 yards. He was running people over. He ran for like an 80-yard touchdown or so. He's had success against this Jacksonville Jaguar team in the past. You're going to get a desperate Jags team this evening. And I was thinking this game's in Jacksonville. I couldn't help but think of our boy Tony Cincata, who I haven't seen online recently, actually. Yeah, I was thinking Tony's in Jacksonville, actually. I wonder if he's going to the game tonight.
I don't know, Gabe. I think Tony kind of more stays in his realm and does his thing, and, you know, he does a lot of betting. I remember he told us he used to go to the local bar and have some shrimps and a couple cold ones, but I don't think Tony ventures too far from his domicile.
No, he gets out. He's a stand-up comic now.
Really?
He's That's in, I'm sure they're like very offensive jokes as well.
Oh, yeah, I bet they are.
Yeah, he's, I'm sure.
That's the best.
Sure, very, very offensive.
He had material that couldn't be on our show. I want to see what his stand-up act like. I bet it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't hold back. Very rare I've ever done shows with people where I'm cringing and going, oh, dear God,
yes,
this guy's
know,
like, this guy's going to get us in trouble. Like.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
All right, game time decisions continues. Sports Grid Studios with the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Meadowlands. With Thursday night football this evening in AFC South tilt tonight. Titans took both games last year, 9-6 and 30-9. Without further ado, let's bring in Whale Capper right now so we can get right down to business. Thanks for joining us, Whale Capper. How you doing today?
Oh, fantastic. Happy football Thursday. Let's get into this card.
Yeah, that's it. You know, people complain about the game. I said earlier we can complain about the game, but we all know we're betting the game. So instead of complaining about it, let's break it down. And as I mentioned, so Tennessee are a pretty good road team. We saw that in week one against the Cleveland Browns. There's a saying in hockey, and Cam knows it, about teams, they tend to play smarter on the road. They talk about playing a smart road game. And, you know, they stick to fundamentals. They don't do anything crazy. And in football, it's sort of the same thing. When teams get home, they feel the pressure, especially coming off a win. I sort of like the situation for Tennessee coming off of a loss. But it's a division rival. It's a short week game. You're going to have a desperate Jacksonville Jaguar team here tonight. What are you looking – what do you think about this game when you look at it, Will Kuemper?
Yeah, it's a tight line. I would say the side to lean is definitely Tennessee here, and I agree with all your points. If you take a step back and you look at what we've seen in the NFL this season to this point, home field advantage hasn't meant much, really, at all. In fact, road teams are covering the spread at about a 69% clip so far, which is pretty crazy because – in years past, we've seen that home field has mattered early in the season.
Wow.
Also, in years past, we've seen home field has mattered a lot on Thursday Night Football. But lo and behold, two for two this year, the road dog has won outright on Thursday Night Football. So we're kind of in this weird sort of transition in the NFL overall where home field is mattering a lot less. And I don't think the market is really caught up to it at this point. I don't think, you know, like you look at this line and the way these teams are rostered, and you look at the fact that Jags are on their backup quarterback with a pretty, pretty unimpressive offensive skill position unit overall. Don't think much of Fournette. Don't love their receivers at tight ends. You wonder, okay, are these teams really, you know, a point and a half apart? Are they really, that this close?
And where they're at psychologically too.
Yeah, for sure.
Where they're at in the room as well. Like Jacksonville, almost nearly a lost season already, Will Kuemper, right? It's 0-2. Foles is hurt. Ramsey's fighting with Marone. Marone's definitely on thin ice right now. If you're in that Jag room, you're thinking, oh, God, here we go again. This is last year all freaking over again. You got Gardner Minshew walking around like a porn star with his shirt open and these mustaches. And, you know, yeah, he's completing 78% of his passes, but they're all dinking dunks. Yeah, he's not stretching the field. If you're Tennessee, they always lose to Indianapolis as well. That's just one of those division rivals. They always lose. They found a way to lose as well. But if you're for Tennessee, you feel pretty good about yourselves. You know what I mean? You're right in this mix of this division. You could beat Jacksonville tonight. You'd be 2-1. I like Derrick Henry. Last year he went off for 238 yards against the Jags in this spot on a Thursday nighter, if you recall. And as you mentioned, just I like the coach better and Mike Vrabel. Doug Marone's just hoping that no one punches him in the face right now. You know, Mike Vrabel at least is coming in here. I think Vrabel's a good coach. Tennessee have good, good roster. I like the skill position players. You know, it's Marcus Mariota. Just hang the football off. So let's get into the props here. Derrick Henry, the prop was 73.5 rushing yards, up to 74.5. He's gone over this number in both games, Will Kuemper.
He was amazing. He was amazing against these guys last year. You remember that game? He was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Three touchdowns. It was incredible. And, you know, I would expect Henry carries the load tonight for Tennessee. I would only look at a rushing prop, really, because nothing I've seen from Mariota right now is inspiring me that he's healthy. Nothing I'm seeing from Mariota would inspire me that he can carry them through the passing game. I would look almost entirely for Derrick Henry to be the bell cow and to get it done, because, you know, the Jags don't have a very good run defense at all. They were giving up. They were getting gashed by, you know, LeSean McCoy, who was cast off by the Buffalo Bills in week one for the for the Chiefs. They couldn't stop the Chiefs when they were trying to come back in that game at home down in that second half. They had no chance of stopping the run. So Derrick Henry should be able to kind of set the tone tonight, and then he should put this team away.
84 yards in one game, 82 yards in the other. 19 carries in week one, 15 carries only last week, which I don't understand because he averaged 5.5 yards a rush. You got to get this guy the ball. The more you give him the ball, he's just going to rack it up and wear you out as the game goes on. But he's got a touchdown in both games as well. I'm gonna dial up right now, see what the number is for Derrick Henry to get in the end zone this evening. But his rushing prop is 74.5 yards. I like that to the over. And it's 17.5 carries. So he had 19 carries week one, 15 carries week two. I think he gets the ball a lot tonight. I do. I think they're going to pound the rock. Yeah. You mentioned Fournette. His rushing prop is 70.5. He hasn't topped 67 yet this year. Fournette is a hard running back to trust here. But have you taken a look at any of the props tonight, Will Capper?
I like all of your looks there. I would look for a Fournette under. The Fournette experiment here, going up and drafting him at the very top of the first round, was a disaster. This is not the guy that you want to build your offense around. He is not a guy that can carry the load for this team. He's way too often injured, and he goes down way too easily. He's basically, you have in Derrick Henry as a running back for Tennessee, a player they thought they were getting in Fournette, this dynamic, athlete / physical force who could dictate the game. Fournette is not ever going to be that, and, unfortunately, the Jags have no other choice, because you look across their wide receiver depth chart, you look at their tight end depth chart, it's a disaster. No, they don't have a pass catching unit here. And Gardner Minshew, as you mentioned, is a dink and dunk champ. He's completing lots of passes, but most of those yards he got in week one were at yards after the catch from a defensive unit in Kansas City that wasn't great at tackling. Last week, I thought last week the Jags should have won that game. If they had converted a couple of defensive scoring opportunities, which were there, I think the Jags win that game outright. And there's nothing to really write home about the Texans defense at all, especially their pass defense. And yet Gardner Minshew really couldn't get it done against that unit. Now you're going up against this Tennessee Titans secondary, which is loaded with talent top to bottom. They can throw five cornerbacks and safeties out there on the field and just make it absolutely hell for you. Just ask Baker Mayfield. And I would expect that this is a pretty one-sided affair tonight. The Tennessee Titans look pretty obviously like the right side. The under has gotten most of the attention in this game. I think that's probably kind of the volume is really dictating that move to the to keep dropping. I don't see an edge at all in the total. I think Tennessee can pretty much set their number here, because if things go sideways, if they're getting beat down by just this physical attack led by Derrick Henry, I could see I can entirely see a scenario where they wave the white flag on defense.
Cam?
Yeah, I was going to say, guys, just because we're the get-along gang. Just want to play devil's advocate for a bit. So Jacksonville, they're 0-2, right, guys? But Kansas City just outgained them by 63 yards. That's pretty impressive. When you look at what Kansas City does to other teams, they usually outyard them by like 150 yards. Last week, the Jags outgained the Texans in Houston. They were a little bit unlucky in that game. 0-2, desperate at home. I don't know, Will Capper. To me, I think it's going to be a real, real, slug them out. I think the line's where it is. I think the last field goal probably wins. But I want to ask you this. Gabe's all over the Henry prop, which I agree with. Have you guys seen the first quarter total in this game? 7. One touchdown, you push.
Over that.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
line.
Gabe, yeah. The total's 37.5 in the first quarter, 7. That's unbelievable.
I can't disagree with an over 7.
7.
You know me,
7.
I've never met an over I didn't like. Yeah, 7. Yeah. Wow.
One touchdown. Push.
I actually think there's going to be more points than people think here tonight, too. All right, we'll take.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only? Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? Sports Grid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, Sports Grid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
What's up with this song?
I know. I was saying, was this a night at the Roxy?
Was this like Gloria Estefan or something?
No, but you gotta, baby, do that conga. You gotta
come on, well. Shake your conga. Do your what is
conga? Hey.
Man, like we were like, I was starting to answer the tunes here, guys. Like,
I was starting to answer to that.
That was like Miami's sound machine.
Yeah, that's all good, gang. You can dance. You can dance.
I was actually busting a move until like you spoiled the moment there, not liking the song, man.
No.
I was about to bust a move right now. Do a split and a backspin. I was gonna do a backspin.
I can hear you chewing. Like I hear you like chewing and stuff. What are you eating a sandwich or something?
Nah, Greg bought some pretzels, so yeah, I'm kind of been munching on one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I hear you. Like, if you're gonna grab the mic, like, why don't you wait till you finish eating the pretzels? All right, thank you, Yang.
You got it, buddy.
God. All right, thank you. All right.
Yep.
Yeah. Great times. Eating some pretzels. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. The song sucks. The music sucks. And that's a real problem. I just don't have time to, like, send an email about this with a whole new playlist. Like, I'm going to snap, man. I'm going to snap soon. Like, this morning, you guys played Janis Joplin. Like, what is this? Like, Woodstock. It's like, it's the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. I get it. But, like really. It's like, we're playing
Renzi
songs that are 50
Bobby
years old.
Yeah.
And 52 years old.
Yeah.
I don't want to meet Bobby McGee.
No, you don't.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me?
Buy me a
Mercedes Benz. All right, so Will Capper likes Tennessee tonight. Pretty, sounds like he's down. So let's move on to the rest of the card. Interesting card this week, Will Capper. Baltimore and Kansas City, a very big game. Let me throw this Rams-Browns game at you.
Great place.
It seems like, it's interesting because the mainstream, the people, it seems like the public are down on the Rams all the time. Carolina's going to beat them in week one. Saints are going to get, it's the big revenge spot. And I know that Drew Brees got hurt, but I'm not so sure it would have been any different anyways. The Rams win football games. And one thing about Sean McVay, he's absolutely lethal on the road. It's crazy. People don't really talk about it, but the Rams are like dominant on the road. But the odds makers, I was surprised this game wasn't like a pick 'em. I was actually surprised to see the Rams lay 3 here in this spot. This is Cleveland's, like, Cleveland handled business against backup of backups of backups against the Jets. And Adam Gase couldn't coach his way out of a jack-in-a-box. Now this, to me, is the first pressure game for Cleveland. You like that, Will Capper? Yeah.
Yeah,
pressure game. Besides their home opener, which they didn't deal well. You know, we're talking about Sunday Night Football. That's the new marquee game. They have a team that's used to playing in big games, rolling in the town. What do you make of the Rams and the Browns game?
Oh, yeah. Rams absolutely ought to be favored in this one. And I agree with you. They just find a way to win. I would look for, I think the sharp players saw this open at Rams -1.5, and they gobbled it. They beat this number up to 3, and that's a pretty fair number. I don't think it should close on the other side of 3, although I do think the Rams win this one pretty comfortably because there's a lot of issues going on in Cleveland right now. Starts with the head coach. I think we expected as we went into this season that Freddie Kitchens was going to have kind of a learning curve. Obviously, kind of got promoted up pretty quickly. Did a great job as an offensive coordinator for a portion of last season after previously being the running backs coach. And then all of a sudden, he's now thrust into being kind of the leader of the squad. And also, oh, by the way, you also have to coordinate the offense. And I thought they made a good hire in bringing in Todd Monken to be the offensive coordinator. But they are running a lot of 11 personnel, which is fine if you have 3 dynamic wide receivers. Problem is the Browns right now only have 1. Odell Beckham Jr. is the only guy who's consistently running good routes, the only guy who has any chemistry with Baker Mayfield. Jarvis Landry really can only run routes when the field is relatively shallow. He is not a deep guy, and Joku's out. Yep. You know, they had a kind of a budding star in wide receiver in Rashad Higgins, and he's been out for all of the season to this point with an injury. And, you know, insert him back into this offensive lineup, and they can get away with running 11 personnel, and they can be more dynamic. But as it is now, they're not able to really keep the defense honest. They're not able to kind of open up space for their running back in Nick Chubb. And so it's, you know, just overall, they're just out of sync. And it's going to take probably a couple more weeks before they really find their form. And unfortunately for them, they're going to take some L's between now and then when that's happening. I personally played the under on this one when it was a little bit higher. That number has gotten destroyed. Opened up at like 51. It's already down to 47.5, which is kind of nuts. If that goes down anymore, I'm going to have to think about coming back on the middle, because, you know, this is still kind of a dynamic offense on the other side of the field with the Rams. And you could have some garbage time points here if the Rams are kind of, you know, ahead by, you know, double digit scores for a good portion of this game. But, you know, this is not a great matchup, and the Browns are hurting. Browns are missing a lot of pieces. Looks like they might be without their key defensive tackle in Okunobi. Two of their cornerbacks showed up on the injury list on this week in Denzel Ward and Williams. This is a problem for them. They're going to have their hands full on Sunday night, and I think the Rams put this team away pretty comfortably. And, you know, I would look for I still think the under is a good play, although it's again, the number is long gone. But the Rams should cover this 3.
I can't help but chuckle. There's a dude just beating the crap out of the table after every horse race. I don't know if you guys can hear him.
I thought he was smashing stuff. I'm like, no, guys, hit the paint, Gabe. Like, come on, home, buddy. But he was going nuts. Like, I thought he put somebody through a wall. That was
no.
Man. It sounds like my backyard. Wow.
He waits till after the race, and then he starts smacking the table after he doesn't win. I got to talk low. He's like a big, like, angry grandpa type. Like, you could tell, like, after a couple of drinks.
Killer.
Hey, welcome, Capper. This place is like a mental institution, bro. But really, I feel like I'm like Jack Nicholson. Like, this is like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You hang around in a racetrack and a Meadowlands 10 hours a day, bro.
Nurse Hatch.
You're right next to these insane guys. All right, anyways. So. Yeah. So what about the Ravens and the Chiefs game? It was 7. It came down to 6. So obviously somebody liked the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, this is the game of the week by far. Great stuff. Because, you know, you got the Patriots and you got the Chiefs. And to me, the Ravens are like that one team that can sort of beat either one of them on any given Sunday. They're dynamic as well. Lamar Jackson just gets better each week. Yeah, Andrews is, you know, he's got weapons, his confidence. Harbaugh's a great coach. They're right in the mix, Baltimore. I think they can go toe-to-toe. I look at this like a fight, man. Bam, bam, going back and forth. And to me, it's whoever has the ball last wins. And I'm looking at the points in this football game.
I love that take. Love that take. I'm on the Ravens as well. I think they are absolutely going to give the Chiefs everything they've got. They match up well. The Chiefs' defense is their Achilles heel. Obviously, their offense, there's only one way to stop the Chiefs' offense, and that's to keep them on the sidelines. If you limit Pat Mahomes's his reps, his number of chances, then he's not going to let him hit home runs. Like, you know, great best way to keep Barry Bonds from hitting a home run was to intentionally walk the guy. Like, you literally have to keep Mahomes on the sidelines, or he's going to kill you going deep. And so it's you look at the Ravens and what they've got. They have, you know, the ability to play keep away. They can get you with the physical running attack. And oh, by the way, through two games this season, they've given you all the evidence you need to know that you have to respect the deep ball, because Lamar Jackson is throwing extremely, extremely well. Precision passes deep. Marquise, you know, Hollywood Brown can get open, and Lamar Jackson can dial it in and hit him. So that opens things up for this rushing attack, I think, to kind of give us a look we haven't seen from the Ravens this year, but we know they're capable of. And I think they're going to absolutely, absolutely be in this game. Even if, you know, even if the Chiefs get the ball first, put a little pressure on the Ravens by going up 7-0 or something like that, this Ravens team is going to score. They have the capability. They can get to 30 points. We absolutely know it. And, you know, they've done it against tougher defenses in the Lamar Jackson era to this point. They are absolutely dangerous in this game. And, you know, they're dangerous in the AFC. I agree with 100% with your point. You know, it seems like a two-horse race here with the Pats and the Chiefs, but the Ravens are a sneaky team that can get the better of either of those teams on the right day.
Cam, we got about 2 minutes. You got a game you want to hit?
Yeah, I was just going to ask Whale Capper two questions. They're both 22-point spreads. Do you have any vibe on the Jets, Patriots, or Dolphins, Cowboys? Rosen starting now. And the other game I wanted to know, what backup quarterback do you think has a chance to cover this week? You're on the clock there, Whale Capper. What do you like?
Backup quarterback, I like Mason Rudolph a lot. I like the Steelers to get this cover. There's a couple things going for them. We saw the Steelers kind of flipped a switch when Roethlisberger went out, and the offensive coordinator kind of called the offense that is, you know, instead of kind of leaning heavily on the shotgun, instead of, you know, expecting Roethlisberger to just figure out, you know, not get sacked and make a play deep into the play clock. Instead of that, they went with more of a play action focused attack. Yep. It was a new look for the Steelers that frankly
good.
We haven't seen. Yeah, he did, and you know, and they should be able to put some pressure on the Niners. The Niners coming off of two big wins, you know, they're going to be, you know, having read their headlines all week and thinking about how great they are. They're due for a little bit of a tough contest here. The two 22-point spreads. Oh my God, like it's just a sad state of affairs we are in the NFL right now, that we're in week three and we have two teams that are that far, you know, that are that far out there. It's just an embarrassment.
Whale Capper, always a pleasure, buddy.
Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
All right, thank you, Yang. On this day, September the 19th, 1990, Goodfellas was released.
Ooh.
The movie Goodfellas, great movie. One of my favorites, yet I used to always sort of debate, Cam. I was like, yeah, you got Goodfellas, and then Casino came after. But I got to be honest, I actually prefer Casino more than
like
Goodfellas,
that.
Ultimately. Maybe because it's the gambling thing. Maybe because it's Vegas and stuff, right? Like, they're both great, right? It's the same cast.
They are.
I mean, it's the same producer, same like.
I think if you pull,
it's about the same gang, too, as well.
I would say Goodfellas, Gabe, would probably be about 80-20. I like the fact that you're on kind of the more underrated movie. I like Casino just as much. So I'm with you. I think they're both great. Like, when they're on, I'll watch them both. But I like the gambling elements, too. Great,
yeah.
Great flicks. Great flicks, both of them. It's kind of like comparing two hot women, you know? They're both beautiful in their
own. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What is better, Goodfellas or Casino? Let's see what happens when stuff pops up.
I guarantee people
will say Goodfellas is going to be the better one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Goodfellas is bigger.
It's a lock.
But it's funny, the first thing I see here right away, highonfilms.com, Casino is better than Goodfellas.
Wow, that shocks me.
Here's the debate. Says, see, I like what they said. This guy says, yep, they're both of the greatest, most entertaining, most riveting movies about gangsterdom ever put to screen, both by the same incredible director, but I would wager that Scorsese's follow-up, Casino, is better than the sibling Goodfellas. I'd even go as far as to claim that The Departed and The Wolf of Wall Street. All right, that's a little far.
Yeah,
Goodfellas is great, but I've never seen The Wolf of Wall Street, though.
I have.
I
good
can't,
movie.
I can't comment on it. I've never
you
seen
should
it.
Really watch it.
I'm not going to say it's the best movie of all time, but it's a very good movie. Leonardo DiCaprio does a great job. Yeah, based on a true story. Just absolute swindlers and hustlers, Gabe, you know, with investments. They'd make stocks tank and then make a lot of money on the side. They used to have contests like how far can you throw a midget and, you know, you give a chick money to shave her head. You know, here's 10,000 bucks. It was just basically they turned their Wall Street office into like just an absolute gong show with like carnivals and hookers and cocaine. And yeah, it's a pretty crazy movie about the guy's life, man. He lived hard, played hard, made a lot of money and lost it. Got too greedy. Good film. You should watch it.
I saw on National Geographic Channel, you know, you like the Datelines and stuff. I like the documentaries on the mob.
they're awesome.
They have like some serious ones. Yeah, but like where the mob actually talks, like the one with Francisi and stuff. Francisi, where like he actually told his own story. Like he told like it was him. Like it wasn't just like recreated. He actually interviewed. Yeah. It's the only interview he's ever done. It was Inside the American Mob, it was called. And I saw one the other day, and it was on the New York guys, and it was all basically about this guy, Tony Spilatro. Tony Spilatro is like the real-life Joe Pesci in these movies. Like, basically, it was the real-life. Like, it's the same story. Like, that's what people don't realize. Like, Casino and Goodfellas, the same people. Like, in real life, even. Like, a lot of those gangsters and stuff, they got sent out to Vegas, right? Like, Spilatro, like, you know, he was actually from Chicago, but he got sent out to Vegas. So it was all, like, sort of that, you know, the crossover between everybody. I'll ask people, but, you know, Jordan Kovacs raises a very good point as far as an underrated piece of cinematography. The classic movie, Showgirls. Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh, great movie. That's right. Yeah, from Saved by the Bell to the Dancing.
You ever seen that movie?
Yeah, I've seen it,
With the guy from, like, Twin Peaks. What's that guy's name? Yeah. Remember the guy from Twin Peaks?
Kyle MacLachlan? Is that you're talking?
Yeah, good call. Yeah, like, she's like Kyle a stripper. That was a good movie.
People
read Showgirls. Elizabeth Berkley and Gina Gershon, I think.
It was good for a laugh, kept me entertained.
Oh, it was so bad, it was good.
Actually,
it was so bad, it was good.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah, exactly. You absolutely hit it on the head. Like, the acting in that movie is, like, high school, like, community theater level. But you brought up a good one. I've been watching on the Murder Channel. They are showing a lot more documentaries, man. Some stuff. The Montreal Mob has some great stories where you grow up, buddy. There's some heavy hitters in that area, man, real heavy hitters. And a lot of those guys went into New York State and did some damage, too. Where you grew up, some legendary guys there. Crazy
stuff.
Yeah,
the guys that shot Castellano for John Gotti were from Montreal.
Yep.
Like when they wanted people whacked, they were like, all right, who's going to come up, do it ruthlessly, quickly, and won't snitch? Like there's a big connection between the Montreal families, the Rizzutos. I'm sure that's what you saw, right? Like connections. Montreal's insane, bro. Like, they're hardcore. Like, you can make, like, serious movies out of that scene, too. Man, they whacked the guy, Cam. And then they robbed his house during the funeral. Like, that's, like,
that's
pretty hardcore, bro.
That is.
You know what I mean? Like, they.
To kill a man, you steal his soul, man. Like, at the funeral?
You know what I mean?
That's,
You know who got caught up in all that stuff? That wrestler, Dino Bravo.
Yeah, Dino Bravo. Yes, correct. Yes.
Dino Bravo. Yep. So Dino Bravo, he was in Montreal, Cam. He got shot, and it was so professionally done, the remote control was still in his hand. Think about that.
He's just sitting there.
Like he got shot watching TV.
Like and it's like that.
The remote control didn't even fall. Like, it was that seamless.
That's
like
awesome. Yeah,
he's watching TV, psh, like with a silencer, psh, and he just went to sleep. And, the remote control never fell out of his hand. The TV was still on.
Wow.
Even remote control, like, it happened that. And that's, like, when they said, I remember at the time it happened, they were like, this is pretty much as pro as it gets. Like, it was through a window, and the remote control is still in his hand, and he got shot in the head. Like, yeah, it's that's pretty
that's
much as good as it gets. Like, they realize, yeah.
Yeah, you got sniper skills.
That's what. Yeah, yeah.
If you could, if you do that through a window the guy to that, that's straight up like that's army. Like, yeah, you're gonna be like, they have that special class of people, Gabe, where basically, like, even with wind and stuff, I saw a documentary on that too. Like, this guy's pinging off people from footballs away perfectly with like, he made corrections, mathematics for the wind and stuff. Bam, bam. Like, man, you got to be pretty hardcore to do that type of stuff. That takes real brain power. They're not just killers. They're intelligent. Very intelligent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're nuts. They're hardcore. Like,
correct.
Dude, the port of Montreal is like... It's everything's a little different now. I mean, everyone's kind of dead. They cleaned it up a lot, but the Port of Montreal used to be sort of the key to North America. That's why, like, Montreal was so powerful. Like basically Europe and Middle East and everything, Canada is first. You know what I'm saying? Like, you send something across, it's going to hit Canada first.
Sure.
So basically, they control the port, and then they can ship it out like to New York, etc. And you know, like I said, those are the old days. But So National Geographic, they got some great stuff. They've got some great stuff, but they actually had like the real casino story, dude. It was like the real story, and man, the movie was accurate. Like, it really was. Like, they had like Ace Rosenstein still alive. So he was talking in it, like they were interviewing people, and man, it was freaking accurate. Like that movie Casino, as far as the way everything, like in the movie and stuff, you think, nah, like he didn't really do a TV show like that, did he? He really did.
Yeah.
The Ace Rothstein Show, live from the Stardust. Like, he basically like raged about the gaming commission and stuff, and he had like these big time mobsters. They would tell him, Cam, you got to stay off of TV, bro. They're like, you're bringing heat to everyone. But he wouldn't listen. So that's why, like, they finally, like, they tried to blow his car up outside of, what's the name of that Italian restaurant? Still there. Tony Romo's.
Tony Romo's. Oh, yeah, the wing and
Tony
past
Romo?
Wing joint. Yeah, yeah, I don't tell
not
you.
Not Romo. Yeah, Tony Romo. I said Tony Romo's. Tony Romo. Tony Ramos.
Oh, yeah. I love going to Tony Romo's. Yeah, there's a Tony Romo's. There's Tony Romo's actually where I live. It's not bad. It's okay. It's
you know,
not like
Vegas,
real.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're in the
it's
suburbs
like,
so like all the time.
Yeah.
No.
You know what it is? It's kind of mungy cake Italian.
But that's
not,
in real life, Cam.
It's not hardcore. Yeah, okay.
No, but in real, well, it's hardcore enough that in real life, that's where they blew up Robert De Niro's car in real life. It was in a parking lot of Tony Romo's. I'm dead serious. And it's still there. They left it because it's a part of Vegas history. There's a crater in the parking lot. Yeah, yeah, like the movie. I'm a big buff like that. I like that stuff. Like, you know, that's why I went to Tom's Diner, Seinfeld, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I like that
cool.
stuff. So when I was in Vegas, I went to the diner where James Woods, Sharon Stone, and De Niro shows up. It was like two blocks from my place. So I had breakfast there, like I'm sitting in the same booth. The Riviera is where they filmed it all. Not all of them, but like 99% essentially. Like almost all that movie Casino was filmed in a Riv. I have a picture on the same phone they beat Don Rickles up on. good stuff. Ryan says, get Ace on in-game live. I'd like to, actually. I'd like to. The guy's a legend. I've always wanted to interview him, actually. All right, so what do you think of Whale Capper? So Whale Capper was pretty, man, he's talking like Tennessee's a lock tonight, Cam. He's like, convincingly. They can name their score.
That's the thing, Gabe. Like, we agree on a lot of stuff. We team up. It's always nice to win as a team. But I'm not seeing this game like Tennessee rolling these guys like other people. Jacksonville's a desperate team. They're at home. They played well against a Chiefs team that could be the best team in the NFL next to the Patriots. You know, they had similar yardage to them. They outplayed Houston and lost. Very tough loss for them. If they get a two-point conversion, they beat these guys on the road. So, you know, Jacksonville kind of has that 0-2 record, but they're not that bad. Their defense keeps them in games. If Minshew cannot make mistakes, and, you know, it's all about the defense. I'm just concerned about Ramsey. I hope he goes out there and kicks some ass tonight instead of packs it in. Because if he plays with passion and he plays his usual game, I think it's going to be hard for Mariota and Tennessee. Mariota's one thing, Gabe, too. When you were at the Giants, when you were at the week one game with the Bills there, I'll tell you, versus the Jets, that was the game that I watched here on TV. And Mariota, other than he's worse than Winston this way, missing open receivers, it's awful. His accuracy sometimes is like, I'm like, wow. Like, it's not, it hasn't got any better from Oregon. Like, he's okay. He can make some throws, but man, he makes a lot of real bad throws, and that's dangerous against Jacksonville. I think this game's going to be a 3-4-point game. That's why I'm doing the old middle teaser. Give me four. Four results. I think it's going to be tight.
I like your balls, Cam. I like it. Well, that came out wrong. That could be a Yang's going to play that.
Yeah,
I like the intestinal fortitude you're showing.
Thank you. My intestines, my balls. Yes. I can't help but think too
of Tony Romo's. Yeah, like King Gonjan says. I'm thinking about, like, there's an Italian restaurant in Montreal. A buddy of mine got lasagna. There was a set of car keys in the lasagna. My buddy took the lasagna back. He's like, bro, there's like car keys in the lasagna. They're like, here's $15. And he's like, I'm going to call the news. And they basically stated, yeah, it'll be the last call you make. Take the 50.
Exactly. Take the money.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Holy crap, man. This 6'9 guy's really singing, man. This guy's singing like Madonna. I see now he alleges that Cardi B's a gangster. Part of this 9-Trade Blood crew. And some rapper, retired rapper, Jim Jones, as well as, Cam. You know, I don't know if you know who this Tekashi guy is. Tekashi 6'9.
Really,
some like, nah. You know, Yang probably Yang knows who I'm talking about. I'm sure some.
I don't know who he is. I don't listen to his music though. I actually seen a meme today. It said that Tekashi said that a lot of the Haji stores are selling people hot food with their EBT cards. That thing had me hilariously dying.
Like, is there anyone this guy's not snitching on?
I know.
Like, I saw a tweet today. They said, man, this guy's going to report his mother owes parking tickets soon. Like, Cam, basically, like, they asked him, like who else is in this gang? And he's just rattling off, like, Cardi B's a big star now and stuff. Like, she's got a movie. She's in that movie Hustlers, right? Like,
that's correct.
Yeah, she's getting drawn into this. Some guy, Jim Jones, but they have a tape of this Jim Jones guy. And, like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's basically this kid. It's a classic. Like, he's admitted under oath, basically, that everything is fake. Like, he basically, he paid this gang for credibility. Like, he used the gang, the Bloods in his video for credibility to get street cred, except then they started shaking him down for money and stuff, right? And, like, he opened up a Pandora's box that, you know what I mean, that he couldn't close, except I guess they like, he had like a big beef online, like all these idiots, right? So he had a big beef with another rapper, and he kidnapped the guy.
That's dangerous.
But the guys that he got to kidnap, like, he got charged in it and stuff. I think they shot at the guy, they kidnapped him, whatever. And so he's rolling over and stuff, but I don't know. He's going to stay out of jail, but he's going to get whacked. It's like that movie CB4. Yeah, he's a fake gangster. You got a little too real now.
Kidnapping, the same charge as murder, almost, buddy. Bad news,
folks. What's going on, Grid? This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
I got great news, guys.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, gang. Hey, everybody, I'm Cam Stewart, your Sports Grid News and Betting Update. Get on the grid, everyone. Jalen Ramsey doesn't mind suiting up for the Jacksonville Jaguars tonight, but sources telling ESPN the cornerback doesn't anticipate being a Jaguar by next Sunday. Tons of teams blowing up Jacksonville's lines, inquiring about a potential deal for Ramsey. So far, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Eagles, the Ravens, Oakland, Minnesota, and Seattle have all made substantial inquiries about the two-time Pro Bowler, according to reports. Thursday night or tonight, 8:20 p.m. kickoff. Catch Gabe and the gang in bet live starting at 8 o'clock tonight. The Tennessee Titans and the Jags. Titans laying 1.5, low total 37.5. Money line, Titans minus 125, Jags plus 105. First quarter line, Titans minus 0.5 point. Total 7 flat. First half, Titans minus 0.5 and the over-under 17. Gets worse for the Panthers. Quarterback Cam Newton is going to miss. He missed a second straight practice today. He's doubtful. He's got that mid-foot sprain with very little progress made. He's not going to be medically cleared for week 3 versus Arizona. Former MVP spotted in a walking boot this week. He suffered the injury in the preseason, re-aggravated it versus the Bucs, so it looks like Kyle Allen will get the call. He played in 2 games last season, throwing 2 touchdown passes in a week 17 win over the Saints as big dogs. He can still play, but AB has lost some endorsement money. Nike has just ended its sponsorship with the wide receiver, Antonio Brown. Brown, due to all of his off-field drama, also lost an endorsement deal with helmet manufacturer Zenith. Daniel Jones will have a weapon back when he takes the field for his first regular season game and debut Sunday at Tampa. Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard passing concussion protocol. Head coach Pat Shurmur announcing today. Shepard missed the week 2 loss to Buffalo practice this week. He's going to be relied on as Jones's top guy. They're still missing Golden Tate. The Giants will have him back in 2 more games. The Miami Dolphins making a switch at quarterback. Josh Rosen will now get the start this week versus Dallas. They're 22.5-point dogs. Fitz is the number 2 guy. And this just in, Miami claiming former first-round pick Taco Charlton from Michigan off waivers from the Dallas Cowboys after they released him. Big game in baseball right now going down. Playoff implications all over the board here. And we got the Brewers taking on the San Diego Padres. Milwaukee up 3-1, and they're batting in the bottom of the 5th. The Braves, magic number, down to 1. Atlanta trimming Philly 5-4. Historic day, 21-year-old Ronald Acuna Jr. in his 40th dinger. He becomes the second youngest player to hit 40. He's also 3 stolen bases away from the 40-40 club. Soroka wins, Nola the loss, Melanson the save. Boston beat San Fran 5-4. Rodriguez wins, Bumgarner loses, Xander Bogaerts 3 RBIs in the win for Boston. Pittsburgh and Seattle. Mariners sweeping away the Pirates. Buccos hitting an all-time low after a 6-5 loss to Seattle. The MLB has placed Yankees pitcher Domingo Germán on administrative leave under the joint MLBA Domestic Violence Policy Act. The 27-year-old has been placed on a restricted list. An official from the commissioner's office saw Germán slap his girlfriend in a public setting during an argument. The Yankees have signed right-hander Michael King to replace him on the 25-man roster. Rest of the board tonight, 6:35 Yankees. Minus 285, total 9, Heaney and Tanaka, 705, Blue Jays minus a quarter at Baltimore, 10.5, K and Yanoa, 715, Indians laying 365, 8.5, Norris and Clevenger, St. Louis and Chicago, pick 'em, 7 your total, Flaherty and Hendricks, and at 740, last game of the night, KC at Minnesota, the Twinkies minus 260, favorites, 10.5, Montgomery versus Gibson. Big signing in the NHL, the Ottawa Senators locking up one of the league's top young blue liners. They signed Thomas Chabot to an 8-year, $64 million extension. The 22-year-old now become the 5th highest paid defenseman in the league. He had 14 goals and 55 points in 70 games last year in Ottawa. WNBA playoffs. We get the first game going 6:30, LA at Connecticut. The Sun minus 1.5, total 162. Connecticut also leads the series 1-0. 8:30 action. Vegas at Washington. Washington minus 10, total 178. The Mystics up 1-0 there. We got college football action tonight. Houston Cougars at Tulane. Tulane laying 5, total 57.
round one of the PGA Sanderson Farms from Jackson, Mississippi. We're in a rain delay. Hey, my boy, Tom Hoagie Sandwich. He's in the clubhouse, 8-under 64. What a round for him. We have a couple players still on the course with the rain delay. European Tour, the BMW Championship from Wentworth. England's Matt Wallace. He leads at -7 after the first round. Lots of big names trying to chase him down. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morency hosts Hour 2 of Red Heat and Rage Radio live from the Sports Grid studio at the Meadowlands. We'd like to thank Whale Capper and our boy Ricky Sanders. He'll join us in the next hour. We'll talk a little DFS and football action. It's Red Heat and Rage Hour 2 on Sports Grid, and it's coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions. All right, let's roll level two. Now just a little more than 2 hours away from Thursday night football here this evening. But we have more than just the NFL on the card here tonight with the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jags. The Houston Cougars are in action against Tulane. And you know they're going to be real fired up tonight in New Orleans for Tulane. You know, Tulane, they haven't been favorites. They haven't hosted national televised games like this. The game's actually on ESPN tonight. Let's get an updated number. Last check, it was sitting at 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder, Tulane are a good team. Right, down to 4.5, son of a bitch. It's actually, I think it was 6 early in the week, too. So the money's been creeping in on Houston here. Houston have had a frustrating year. I mean, they were in that game last week against Washington State, and the wheels fell off late in the fourth quarter. They were going back and forth. Like, Houston are good. They move the ball, but they can't punch it in, Cam, right? Like, they're not – there's something missing with this team. But they've had a really tough schedule. They played against Oklahoma. Then they had a walk in the whatever, Prairie View A&M or whatever the hell it was in week two. And then last week, that game in Houston, the home of the Texans, with Washington State, they were in it. It just fell apart late in the fourth quarter. Now they're playing a Tulane team who have played really good football this year, but Houston have better athletes than Tulane do. Houston really haven't had better athletes than Washington State or than Oklahoma, obviously. And Dana Holgorsen went to Houston, which, you know, just made a lot of money, Ken. And they didn't pay Dana Holgorsen to go 1-3 to start the year. Big game for the Houston Cougars tonight. I wonder, can Tulane handle the pressure of being a home favorite on national television? It's a tough spot, Ken.
I think the game's going to land very close to the number. Gabe, my prediction is Tulane by 8. I think they do show up. I really like the way they played Auburn. Very tight in that game. It was a lot tighter than the score indicated. You could say the same for Houston. They played Oklahoma tough, and Washington State's a good team. But Tulane at home, if they could stop Houston early, really keep the crowd in the game, I see them as a covering machine. I understand, though, you bring up good points on yesterday's shows. Houston's number on the road as dogs, very, very good. I just think it's a statement game for Tulane. Money's coming in on Houston. I'm going to ride the green wave tonight. I think they get it done and cover the 4.5.
Yeah, it's a tough. It's tough.
Tough game.
I'm starting to notice, though, Cam. These, you know, once again, we're relying on the point spread a little bit too much. I don't know. Like, well, it's sort of like Temple last week. Shouldn't have taken them on the money line.
Yeah.
Does the 4.5 really matter? Are they just going to get blown out? Are they not going to, or will they win the game outright, Houston? Right. Looking at the database, though, there's numbers. There's cases to be made on both sides. Mark Lawrence and at least the playbook, their numbers like Tulane. He's got Tulane by 7 in this football game. I don't really see a ton of numbers here. And it sort of goes back in the past, but Tulane have always been bad before. So I don't know, their home numbers are kind of skewed to me.
Big game.
Houston can't be 1-3, can they? Really?
They could.
All right.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
All right, Game Time Decisions continues. We got a doubleheader of football here tonight. Houston and Tulane. Yeah. Tennessee and Jacksonville. The Houston-Tulane game's actually on ESPN as well. I thought it would be one of these, like, CBS Sports Network type of games. But, no, it's on the worldwide leader, ESPN, 8 o'clock Eastern. Houston go into New Orleans, Yeoman Stadium. Tonight they're going to be fired up, man, at Tulane. They don't host games on ESPN very often, especially games that they have a chance of winning. Total is 57.5. Kind of leaning towards the over, to be honest. In fact, whatever, I'm not leaning. I'm going to bet the over, but I've given them back some of the money this week, as you see in the account cap. It's not drastic. It is what it is, but tonight's a big night, buddy, to get it back rolling in a positive direction. You know, baseball pissed me off this week, and screw baseball tonight. Let's bring in Ricky Sanders right now. Yeah, Ricky, no more screw baseball, or you got a baseball lineup too tonight? or you say screw baseball?
No, not screw baseball. The last week and a half has actually been really good to me. It's another one of those where I was on football duty today, so I just haven't looked at baseball. But I'm more than happy to take a look for you guys. I mean, the last few days to a week, if you faded Coors Field, you were profitable, and that's just a strategy that I have. So I know there's no Coors tonight, but, man.
Unders galore, Rick.
Let me correct you, Ricky.
Yep.
The last few days in baseball, if you faded me, you've been profitable. Not just Coors Field.
Right, Gabe? They always see that.
But let's jump into this football game. All right, so let's jump into this football game tonight. And I was talking about the prop of Derrick Henry, and I sent you the message. I said Derrick Henry night tonight. And I know Derrick Henry, he's a polarizing figure in the fantasy world, right? Like I know a lot of people, you know, last year he was sort of, I guess people called him a bust because he went off in the last month, but if you had him, you probably didn't make the playoffs and that whole catch-22 thing. But he had a solid final month of the season last year. If you look at his first two games this year, you know, 84 and 82 yards, yet he's got a touchdown in both games. You know, 15 and 19 carries. Got 19 in the Cleveland game, only 15 last week. What are your thoughts on Derrick Henry as a player? And remember last year, man, he went off for 238 yards against these guys on a Thursday night. Remember he face-palmed AJ Bowie. He, like, pushed them over and, like, he trashed them. I like Derrick Henry tonight. I got to believe that it's a heavy dose of Henry tonight. The prop is 74.5 yards. What's your model have him at? He's gone over this number actually six games in a row going back to last year as well.
All right, so I'm double-checking the model as you say that. But just to answer your question to how I feel about him, I mean, he's certainly a strong runner. It was Elliot Christ who just tweeted his numbers from high school, which are hilarious. He had 55 touchdowns as a senior, so it's funny that you would start with Derrick Henry because I was just literally looking at that tweet. Facing a tough team here, and by the way, it was Colin who wrote our showdown, you know, content this week, and he said if there was ever a week for you to just set a lineup and go spend time with your family, this would be the game. I mean, we've got projected less than 60 plays for both teams. Neither team has an implied total of 20. Like, this is clearly going to be a grinded-out game. And it just feels like the game environment where Derrick Henry is going to touch the ball quite a bit. And, I mean, here's the thing is we do simulations each week. So I'm not looking at the raw projections, but I'm looking at, you know, who we have for the top bet to be the top scorer of the night. Leonard Fournette is popping off our model today. We have Derrick Henry as the third highest probability of being, you know, the top scoring player. We're giving him a 49.4% of being, you know, a top five scoring player tonight. But Leonard Fournette on our model is a guy really getting all the love. We have about a 33% chance to be that top player, you know, whereas Derrick Henry not getting a ton of work in the passing game. And even last week, he was passed up on one of their goal line opportunities, which I was not expecting for like a fullback. You know, Leonard Fournette, if they could ever get there, we just assume that he's going to be the guy. So with all those hutches, our model is actually taking the approach that Leonard Fournette is a much stronger play. And I think the ownerships here are going to be very similar, and maybe even Lean Henry with them being the favorite. So I have a lot of interest in going overweight Leonard Fournette and just underweight Derrick Henry in general when looking at this.
One thing, is this because of Leonard Fournette and the receiving, right? He's been targeted exactly
yes.
six times each in the last two yep. games. Gardner Minshew doesn't throw the ball down the field, per se, but he's he's accurate. So it's clear Leonard Fournette's going to catch a few balls tonight, right? Because the rushing prop is 70.5 yards, and I'm not in love with it. I mean, he's rushed for 66 and 47, respectively, this year, but he's contributed the four catches as well. Let's see what his total yards prop is for Leonard Fournette, but I'm just not a big fan of his. What do you think from the game? What about any of the wide receivers? I mean, this is basically, you get a guy that gets a touchdown, you might win, right? Tonight, it's like one of those deals, maybe. So there's not a lot of room for error here to be on the right guys. Who are some of the wide receivers you're looking at tonight?
Yeah, this is a really ugly one, and it's honestly one of the games where, okay, so if you're asking just receivers, I mean, we still have Dede Westbrook as the top guy in terms of market share for this team, and I know you look at the target so far, and that doesn't look to be the case, but I think once this offense figures out what they want to do, it's going to be a lot of the short passing game as opposed to stretching the field, and that seems to fit Dede Westbrook's skill set. He kind of had that going with Nick Foles, and then Nick Foles gets hurt, and now it appears in the short term that, you know, Minshew has favored these other guys, and yet Dede Westbrook, five targets, was tied for the second most of any receiver on this team last week, and he had a long pass negated from penalty, which we've seen obviously a lot of in the early going here. So I think he's a focus for me. On the other side, I really like Delanie Walker, but I just wanted to kind of, you know, go into a concept here that defenses can be used as captains tonight. Colin noted yes. in his piece today that defenses on three separate occasions last year were used to win, you know, the top prize on DraftKings. And it would not shock me if this is one of those types yep. of games where, because it's low scoring, because it's grinded out, that you could play a defense and maybe even, you know, potentially one or two guys from the other team against the defense and still grind it out, you know, in a low scoring game. So I think kickers and defenses for this slate, way more in play than usual. But if you're talking pass catchers, I mean, it's tough because now we got Marquise Lee, you know, active for Jacksonville. So other than Dede Westbrook, you got the two guys on the outside who may lose some snaps to him. I think I feel slightly more comfortable with like a few Tennessee guys. Corey Davis, to me, is the wide receiver there. Davis, Walker, Westbrook are the guys I'm not comfortable with.
Cam?
Kickers and defense. I like it, Gabe. I
yep.
like where we're going there. Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing. Ricky, just from like I know you do mostly with the DFS and whatever. Do you have a lean in this game from like a gambling perspective with Tennessee on up to see on some books up to -238.5? Like it's a low total. It's set there for a reason. I totally agree with you with the kickers and defense. But how do you think this game is going to play out?
I'm wondering what the deal with Jalen Ramsey is going to be, because it actually does affect how I feel about this defense. I wonder if he gets a full workload or if they're smart and they only play him for part of the game to save him for being traded, which apparently is going to happen later this yep. week. But assuming Jalen Ramsey, which is all we've heard, has a full role, I kind of like the Jacksonville side of this game. They're home. People don't seem to be giving credit. And I don't think Minshew has been, you know, so terrible to this point. It's a good, you know, kind of game flow for them. This has been a team that's been a top defense in terms of, you know, run defense so far. They had one game where they were torched by, you know, Kansas City, and I think everyone's going to get torched by them. So I think the passing defense stats are a bit out of whack. I think this is going to come down to like a field goal at the end. So I think this is an under game, and I think this is a game that's going to be extremely close. So, I mean, I'm just taking the underdog here and hoping that, you know, they keep it within a point or two. And if it's up to 2 points, I think that's just too much for me in this game. It's going to be one that you grind it out till the end. I want the home team.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Ricky Sanders. We'll tie up any loose ends with this football game. I just ran the optimizer. A lot of Fournette in the lineups.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
All right, thanks, Yang. All right, Window Will, this game snuck up on us. There's some action here in 5 minutes.
WNBA?
See the Connecticut Sun hosting the LA Sparks.
Correct.
I tell you, we hit that the other night. We hit that the other night with Vegas plus 10. I see they're getting 10 again here tonight.
Yep.
You know, listen, do I know a hell of a lot about this? No. But I can tell you that the Connecticut Sun are 16-2 at home. And they took game one. I don't see why they don't take game two.
Yeah, no, I looked at that line.
The Sun will host. We'll get back to Ricky Sanders.
Only -1.5. That's
sorry,
a low,
Ricky. Yeah, we're degenerates here, buddy.
We are. We sure are.
Yeah, they won 84-75 on Tuesday. I see that the Sparks hope to play better tonight. Yeah, you guys hope.
Hope.
I'm taking the home team on their home court here. Right, screwing around. All right, Will. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There we go. Yeah. All right. All right. You know what?
Time
we didn't
to go.
Hit this week, eh? Very much. You notice we haven't won either. Put a little dollar in that little jar there. $100 on the Connecticut Sun money line. Connecticut Sun money line. Thank you, Window Will. All right, Ricky Sanders with us. Or at least I think he's still with us. He should be.
Is he? Yeah, I hope so.
We still have Ricky Yang.
I'm here.
Ricky, don't you
good,
lose
Ricky,
that
good.
Number.
Lose that
what's
number.
Up, Ricky? All right. See, at least I'm not putting you on in a hot seat until you give me some WNBA picks.
I just wanted to say, by the way, you put me on the hot seat with our projection, and I had some slow figures, but I've got our Derrick Henry projection in front of me. It's 77 and almost three-quarter yards and half a touchdown with almost 20 total touches is what we got.
All right. You know, thank you. And I like that. That's enough leeway with me. 74.5 is a couple of yards. At least you're not short on it. But I was going to play Derrick Henry to score a touchdown at -110. I hit this with Beckham the other night. But really, you just mentioned half a touchdown. So me playing at -110 is actually not a smart bet according to the numbers, right, Ricky? Like, you brought it up, too. He got taken out of the red zone. How many touchdown opportunities are there really going to be tonight? I should be getting some plus money. I'd rather roll the dice, Cam. Will Derrick Henry to score the game's first touchdown at +470?
Yeah.
Small little play on that. So, Ricky, you asked, I'll put you in the hot seat again, buddy. You said that Colin Drew, and congratulations to Colin Drew, he won 103,000 last week on a Thursday nighter. Nice. You said that three times people won by captaining the defense.
Correct.
Has it happened where people won because of the field goal kicker, or is it only defense? Because Cam was on to that a couple of years ago about the kicker.
Yep.
And a lot of people are like, the kicker. And it pays dividends at times. But so did it work ever for the kicker? Did anyone ever win with a kicker or just defense only?
As far as I know, it's defense only. Now, I don't recall there being like a 5-6 field goal night from a kicker on Thursday night
thing.
Football.
Yeah,
But here, I'll give you, the Bears won in a game against Seattle in a lineup that included Wilson, Lockett, and Disley. The Broncos last year won in a lineup that included David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald against. And the Bears won it twice, which just kind of shows you what kind of defense you need. They won the lineup against the Rams with Gurley, Woods, and Rams. So it was a double defense sort of lineup. So basically his recommendation was you know, at most play two of the defenses and the kickers and allow for the defense to go in the captain spot. Again, I think it is possible a kicker could win, but you really do need one of those big kicking nights just because, you know, you're getting a point per reception, yada, yada, yada. And over the course of a game, there's just so many more opportunities for everyone else. So you really, you know, if you're playing a kicker there, you have to be projecting a game that's just all field goals. And I would say you need four field goals minimum to even, you know, have that be a thought.
Ricky, let me ask you about a player. And there's so many options this week, domino effect. That's why I want to ask you, what can you tell people, you know, how's this chain of quarterbacks going to affect people? But speaking of not quarterbacks, but cornerbacks, I was listening to the Giants postgame show the other day, and, man, they were coming down hard on DeAndre Baker, all right? They were ripping this kid. Like, it's his fault they haven't won in 10 years type thing. And, you know, he's only in his second game, but I saw the Pro Football Focus chart today, Ricky, and people have a perfect passer rating against him, 153. And this poor kid's going to be on Chris Godwin this week. It's going to be on Chris Godwin. And, you know, Chris Godwin, I joke with the fantasy crew at the network. I said, Godwin's like the first trendy pick you guys ever gave that worked. Like, every year, like, you know what I mean? There's always that, like, fantasy hipster Aaron Jones and whatever. Like, yeah. I said, Godwin's actually for real. I bought in. I got Godwin on a team. I want to get him on another team, actually. I also bought in on Lockett. Lockett and Godwin were two guys I liked. But I like Godwin in reality as well. And you can definitely see in this offense, he's almost the number one option. They look for Evans down the field, but Jameis is very comfortable slinging the ball to Chris Godwin. Pisapia said, don't worry. They're going to start throwing to the tight ends. I don't know. Does Bruce Arians hate tight ends? But what's your take on Chris Godwin? Or is it not a sexy enough matchup? There's better wide receivers this week for a millionaire maker lineup.
So the only thing I'll say about Godwin is I think he's going to be a bit chalky because I think people have caught on to this. That game with Jameis, they have a high total. Yeah. But I've been on the – I mean, like you mentioned that it's a trendy, you know, pick that's kind of worked out. I've been on this trend. I actually have been on the O.J. Howard trend as well, and I'll tell you why. It's because – for his career, you know, heading into this year, Jameis Winston, when targeting Mike Evans, only had an 82 passer rating. Chris Godwin, when he had targeted him, it was 94, almost 95. And O.J. Howard, it was 128. So to me, it just made sense that they would try and get the ball to the guys that have been, you know, that have worked out better for Jameis Winston. Plus, then you got the Arians, you know, playbook in there where, you know, they use the slot guy. They've always been successful in these offenses. And I got to trust Arians at his word this week that he says that O.J. Howard, quote, hasn't played well, which, you know, he's been blocking. So for fantasy purposes, like, what does that mean to us? He hasn't been a good blocker. What do we care? Just leave him on the field and throw him the football. But Arians says he's going to get the football now. The Giants have been a team that have not focused on linebackers. So they've basically been susceptible to the middle of the field. So you got the slot Godwin.
Yeah, tight ends killed him, right?
O.J. Howard. Exactly. So I'm back on both those guys this week. I think Mike Evans is a nice, you know, play if you think he's going to be a lot less chalky, because there will be weeks he'll catch, you know, Jameis throws down the field more than anyone. So there will be weeks that he'll catch a long ball. But I'm with you. I think Godwin is certainly a very sexy pick for this weekend, someone I'm considering in all formats.
Cam?
I got one for you, Ricky. All the backup quarterbacks, right? And let's remember, we talked about this before, Tannehill, all these guys. When guys won the Millionaire Maker, if they're playing, it's usually some guys right at the bottom. We got Mason Rudolph going. Rosen got announced. Taysom Hill and Bridgewater are going to split versus Seattle. Out of all these guys in the backups, if you're going to play, who are you going to roll the dice with, Ricky? Who are your favorite and another sleeper this week that might pay dividends?
So if you're talking Millionaire Maker and you're looking for someone who's cheap, I don't see how you don't give a shot to Kyle Allen against this Arizona defense, who Pro Football Focus ranked as the 31st, you know, worst defense heading into this year. And if your premise for drafting Kyler Murray was they were going to be fast-paced and, you know, their defense was going to be bad, you're starting to see that kind of work out. And I think Kyler Murray is only getting better. And so, you know, with them – I think, presumably scoring some points this week. A minimum-priced Kyle Allen certainly has some interest for me. I mean, we saw, who was it? What was his name last year who won the millionaire at, like, minimum price? I'm trying to think what his name was on Denver. But anyways, there was a minimum-priced quarterback last year who won it. And Kyle Allen, I mean, this implied total for Jacksonville isn't, like, nothing for, you know, the backup quarterback. I think Greg Olsen, you know, Christian McCaffrey are the obvious guys that are going to be, you know, his security blankets. You got Greg Olsen priced below 4K, so it's a really inexpensive stack that you could then go and just, you know, play all the best players with. And I think that's kind of the thought process behind it, is give me enough and let me ride the other players to victory.
I remember Brock Osweiler won last year, somebody at $1 million, because remember the Kenny – yeah. It was Osweiler. Yeah, remember, I think it was with Miami, though. It was Osweiler and Kenny Stills, I think. Right. He might add Drake, too. But it was, I remember it was a Miami stack. It was a Miami stack. And so I just ran the optimizer. And sometime I'd love to, you know, when we have more time, I'd love to just sort of ask you, you know, going through it. All right, so what does, you know, volatility mean? What, you know, what does the min projection mean? How can people utilize this? And a lot of guys that have it even say, Morenci, can you ask these guys how to, you know, how to really do it? So I just did the stack. So I ran it. I did, you know, the quarterback, wide receiver, running back, opposition wide receiver. And it pretty much came up Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys here with the Dak Elliott and Randall Cobb. But so do you agree with that? Do you like the Cowboys stack this week? And I want to ask you about Nelson Aguilar. What's the deal with Philadelphia? Who are they going to throw the football to? So would you rather jump up on Ertz? Like Pisapia said today, just because a guy is number, you know, getting be there doesn't mean he's going to put numbers up. We see that in the NBA a lot. Oh, he's getting minutes. Yeah, well, he still sucks. But Aguilar doesn't suck. But what do you make of Aguilar and Ertz this week and the Philly scene?
Yeah, so...
you got about 5 seconds.
Okay. I think it's going to be a condensed offense, and therefore, you know, Nelson Aguilar caught 11 passes, and I think there were 16 targets for Ertz last week. It's pretty obvious there's two guys you're going to want to target.
Ricky. Perfect.
Ricky Sanders. Hey, we could have kept you, Ricky, but I know you're a busy man. Thank you, Ricky. Chrono.com.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Red Heat Rage Radio. Cam Stewart here. He's hitting the window. Lots of bad. Lots of bets to make tonight. Lots of who says this game's going to be boring? We're throwing in lots of bets tonight. It's not going to be boring. We're putting in a lot of plays. Gabe got props.
Yeah, when it's all said and done,
it's going to be all right.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, it doesn't. Whether the game's exciting or not, it'll be dependent on whether it's exciting or not, whether
we win
or not. Yes. Now, I'm looking at Leonard Fournette here. Leonard Fournette, mentioned, he's been targeted 6 times exactly in each 2 games. So 12 targets in the last 2 games for Leonard Fournette, 4 catches per game. Tonight, the reception prop is 3.5. I was really hoping for a 2.5. You know, I was hoping for a 2.5, but it's a 3.5. Man, these wide receiver props are low tonight, Cam. Like, all of them are
very low.
Like, D.D. Westbrook is 3.5. Fournette's 3.5. Delanie Walker's 3.5. Adam Humphrey's 2.5. Corey Davis, 3.5. I'm going to pass on all that. I got to pick my spots here.
You'll get 3.5.
Total sacks tonight.
5.5.
5.5 is high. I can't do it. Got to get six sacks.
Yeah, I know.
Both I can live with it when it's 4.5.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
All right, the L.A. Sparks have come out hot, but it's all right. They're up 12-4. I don't mind. They're all pissed off they lost the other game. It'll still be. Sort of like the Giants and the Bills the other night.
Yep.
Man, they're rowdy here today. Belmont Park,
yeah,
race 6 right
now. I got
now.
The
you have any
six horse.
On that,
11-1. Yeah, I got the six horse. He's right there. Come on, don't get boxed in, buddy. You could do it. He's right there. He's come on. Now, you got to find a way to get through,
it's
man.
His name, Positive Power.
Positive Power.
Positive
Let's go, Power.
Power.
Oh, go Power. Power. He gone.
He's coming on a bit, but.
He's picking up. He picked it back. Go Power. Yes. Yeah. Oh, he's going to get boxed in on the rail. Damn it. Yeah. It's okay. He was 12-1.
I
looked at the one horse, too. Bad trip by that jockey. He did. I don't like when horse. That's the thing about horse racing. You don't want to get pinned on the rail. The horses get. It freaks them out a little bit, right? They don't like when they're running down, they see that thing on the side. It kind of freaks them out. He's a little jumpy, even after this race. But, yeah, Belmont's great, man. What a track. Got all the great jockeys there. Hey, Gabe, listen to this one. The one Lady Casa was a good pick. Javier Castellano, 5-1. My golfers, if you could believe this.
Castellano and Zayas, these guys win every race here. They were winning all day yesterday, too, these guys.
Zayas won 3 or 4 races yesterday. The guy's on fire. Listen to this one, Marenzi. I used to play first rounds, right? You know, like when you say leave it on the table? Thursday Warriors, I gave you Tom Hoagie Sandwich. He's leading the PGA event, 8-under today. And Matt Wallace, the guy I have in the European event, is leading. If I just bet first rounds with these guys, 31 and 91. Can you believe this? I have them for the tournament. I got to wait 3 more days. You know, the odds of one of these guys winning is very slim, but both leading in the first round. It's kind of like one of those things. I got to think when you make those bets, you got to sprinkle a little bit on the first round, because if something good happens like this and you don't get paid, it's just, I've been thinking about it all day. Very frustrating.
All right. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do here, how we're going to approach this. The Derrick Henry touchdown prop I took off the board. It's not worth it. And I like Ricky. Uh-oh. So Ricky shared the projection of a half a touchdown. He's got touchdowns in both games. I think he gets a touchdown, but I'll just sort of sprinkle. I'll sprinkle on first touchdown of the game for Derrick Henry. One of these nights I'm going to hit it, Ken. I haven't hit it yet, bro. I haven't hit it yet. I have not hit the first touchdown score of a game. I didn't hit it last year either. I've only been playing it here. It's a big thing here, right? They do the odds boost and all that. Everybody always plays the first touchdown score. I never hit it. I got screwed. I had Le'Veon Bell the other day, but there was a pick six. He got the first offensive touchdown, but it was a freaking pick six in week one. But I think Derrick Henry can get the first touchdown tonight at plus 470. I'm going to go with the Titans to win the game, Cam. I know you're teasing this all over, and I think it's a good idea. I'm just going to approach this. I'm going to take the Titans on the money line to win this football game. You guys sold me and convinced me on it's too low. Total 7 in the first quarter.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's weird.
If we got to push, we got to push.
It
should
agree.
Be a touchdown. I think there'll be 10 points in the first quarter. I think there'll be 10 points. We're going to win it. We're going to win that bet.
Yep. Or 9, 3 field goals. Who's
Derrick Henry. Yeah. Derrick Henry or a touchdown and a safety.
Sure. I'll take that.
Derrick Henry, 74.5 rushing yards. Ricky Sanders says the model has him at 77. We talked about it. He's rushed for no less than 82 yards in 6 consecutive games. 4 games to end the season last year, and then another 2 games this year. He carried the ball 19 times in week 1, 15 last week. I think he's going to get the ball, Cam, tonight. I think it's going to be a heavy dose of Henry. I'm going to go over the 17.5 carries for Derrick Henry tonight. So I'm going to go Titans money line, first quarter over 7. Derrick Henry over 74.5 rushing yards. Derrick Henry over 17.5 carries. Derrick Henry first touchdown of the game plus 470. And then a little insurance. Because if the Jags are going to win, then Minshew's going to have to play well. And the Jags can't run the ball with Fournette. There's a reason why they complete a million little dinks and dunks. And I think it'll happen again tonight. Minshew over under 22.5 completions. I'm going to go over. And I'm going to go over the 220.5 passing yards for Minshew. I feel it's just a little low at 220.5, Cam. I think the Titans will be up and the Jags will have to play from behind at some point tonight.
Yeah, it's tough, Gabe. I have a lean to Jacksonville in this game. We differ. It's just going to be a real tight game. I think just Jacksonville's going to be, you know, very desperate. I think they're win between 1 and 3 or 4 points. It's like if you have a lottery, it would be a perfect tie. I think this game within a field goal. I'm also going to do this parlay I just put together so I don't have to lay points. I got a Jacksonville and Tulane parlay. It's +215. I think I'm going to take that. I've teased it 4 ways.
Wow.
For half units on for only half units, $50. Like I usually bet 100, but 50s everywhere. Jacksonville, all over opposite. Yeah, but I have and I like Tulane -4.5. Jacksonville +9, Tulane 2.5. I like Leonard Fournette over 3.5 receptions. I was going to take him over 98.5 rushing and passing, but I think I'm going to pass. I just think he gets 4 balls out of the backfield, and I like the 7 in the first quarter. Over 7 is what I'm looking at right now. So, hey, man, we had to put our money where his mouth is. I think this game is going to be tight. The total is so low. I think it's a great middling opportunity, and I think this game is won or lost by whoever wins or loses. I think it's between 1 and 4. It comes right into my headspace for the teaser, Gabe. I think this is the perfect game to tease. We talk about it, real, real tight battles, divisional game, close football.
I think I might have found a sleeper here for the receptions.
Who?
This is what you're here for. Player total receptions.
Westbrook?
DJ Clark. No,
yeah,
Westbrook doesn't.
Yeah.
Dude, Minshew's a backup, Cam, right? You know this. Backup quarterbacks always have a relationship with second and third and fourth tier wide receivers. They're the ones they practice with all the time, right? You have the ones, the twos. There's always that guy. That's why Cole Beasley had that connection with Dak out of the gate. They used to practice together all the time when they were scrubs early in the summertime. I think DJ Clark's this guy. I think Minshew looks for Clark more than Westbrook even. Westbrook's got 33 receiving yards on a year, Cam. Like, this Clark guy, I was looking. I was like, all right, I was wondering about it. I'm like, who's the guy that he's got that sort of connection with? And I'm looking.
Chark.
Last week, it's 7 like targets to Clark. 7 catches, Chark. 9 targets to Clark.
Chark.
Yeah, you mentioned Fournette, Chark. That quick little dump off. I think Fournette over 3.5. Because, look, I think Minshew is so – dude, the guy's incredibly accurate, all right? 78% of his passes, man. He completed 23 last week. He's got to complete them to somebody. He's got to complete them to somebody. And I'm looking. All these guys are 2.5, 3.5. I would go Clark over and Fournette over, and I'm not saying that. I'm going to go over. Both
no, I
over.
Agree with
Clark
you.
And Fournette over Clark's receptions.
He's 3.5. You know what? I'm going to do the exact same ones. I'm going to go with Chark, 3.5 over, and I'm going to go with Fournette, 3.5 over as well. I think those are two of the good – you're right. And the funny thing is I'm looking, and I see the juice on these guys – The books obviously know things, so I think those are the two guys to target as well. That's good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Minshew has a relationship with Chark. I think he's going to get it done. And, I really like Fournette out of the backfield with a lot of dump-offs. I think we can get 5 or 6 receptions from these guys. I think those are the two best plays on Jacksonville for sure. With Tennessee, who are you going to go with? Like Corey Davis? There's no guarantee.
Pretty cool. They got Chark.
Yeah, Chark.
So it's Chark,
like,
but not Shark.
Like Shark.
Chark.
Yeah, it's not Clark. It's not Shark. It's Chark. DJ Chark.
Like DJ Shark sounds like a great name for a bar. DJ Shark. Yeah, I'm going over to DJ Sharks to watch the game.
I guess, could they pronounce it Shark?
And you know what, Cam? You have like a shark as your DJ at the bar. Like a guy dressed up as a shark, DJ Sharks. And, like, you know, people, girls would take picture of him. Hey, let's take a picture with DJ Shark. Sells itself. Either way, this guy's going to get over 3.5 receptions. And so is Fournette as well. Look at all these guys. 2.5, 2.5. Even Corey Davis, 3.5.
They're very low. So, yeah, I agree. I think we're going to go with Shark. I agree with that one. And I love Fournette tonight. I think it's a really good spot. Close game. It's an interesting game, Gabe. I don't know how you approach it, but I'm approaching it from the teaser perspective, right? The total's very low. Even with a real low-scoring game, I can think there, and I can't see these teams scoring more than like 45, 44 and a half, 45 points. So, I don't know. What do you think the final score will be?
Ugh. 24-16. 24-16 Titans.
24-16.
Oh, yeah.
That's a perfect middle. That's a perfect 24-17, middle.
24-16. 24-16. Yeah, you're right there. Like, that's what I'm saying. I see it getting to 40.
Yep. They cover. They cover the
team. The Daily Roto computer likes the over. The computer likes the over in this game. And that computer don't play around. That computer doesn't have emotions. It likes the over,
right.
Computer.
I like, you know what? If I were to bet the game, I think it's going over. How many people do you think are betting the under tonight? A lot of people, man. These teams can
Everybody.
Still move the ball. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you just, and it's what we talked about before. The great example was when we were at the other studio, you said it was a San Francisco Rams game when both teams were like, had horrible offenses before they got good years ago. And Gabe, that total was like this, 36. And the final score is like 45-41. It turned out to be ding, ding, ding. They were shooting it
Look,
all over
the computer,
the
Cam.
What is this? What's its number?
You know how good the computer is with totals. It's got a 2.5-star player on the over. It says there's a 55% chance that it goes over. And they think it lands on a projected total of 40. They think it gets to 40.
Perfect.
So do I. Like I said, I can see that. 24-17. 27-14, you know, 24-21. I think it gets there, personally. I think your middle is right in the mix. So I'm trying not to force things, but I like this. We're going to be on in-game live, so we're going to take the Tennessee Titans to win a game, -122 on a money line. First quarter, over 7 points. Derrick Henry, over 74.5 rushing yards. Derrick Henry, over 17.5 carries. Derrick Henry, first touchdown of the game, +470. Gardner Minshew, over 22.5 completions. Gardner Minshew, over 220.5 pass yards. Leonard Fournette, over 3.5 receptions. And DJ Shark, over 3.5 receptions. Cam, what do you got?
I like Tulane, Jacksonville and Tulane tease. Jacksonville +9, Tulane +2.5. Leonard Fournette over 3.5 receptions. And your boy Sharky over 3.5 too. And we like over 7 in the first quarter of the game. Good luck, everybody. Run everything.
I like the Houston Cougars +4.5. Check your email, Cam. We'll send you some plays to input. Cam will be back.
Maurice Allen.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Movie, I'm a big buff like that. I like that stuff. Like, you know, that's why I went to Tom's Diner, Seinfeld, you know?
Yeah,
I like that
cool.
stuff. So when I was in Vegas, I went to the diner where James Woods, Sharon Stone, and De Niro shows up. It was like 2 blocks from my place. So I had breakfast there. And, like, I'm sitting in the same booth. The Riviera is where they filmed it all. Most of the casino, not all of them, but like 99% essentially. Like almost all that movie Casino was filmed in a Riv.
Old
I have a
school.
Picture on the same phone they beat Don Rickles up on. good stuff. Ryan says get Ace on in-game live. I'd like to actually. The guy's a legend. I've always wanted to interview him actually. All right, So what do you think of Whale Capper? Whale Capper was pretty. Man, he's talking like Tennessee's a lock tonight, Cam. He's like, oh, yeah, convincingly. They can name their score.
That's the thing, Gabe. Like, we agree on a lot of stuff. We team up. It's always nice to win as a team. But I'm not seeing this game like Tennessee rolling these guys like other people. Jacksonville's a desperate team. They're at home. They played well against a Chiefs team that could be the best team in the NFL next to the Patriots. You know, they had similar yardage to them. They outplayed Houston and lost. very tough loss for them. If they get a two-point conversion, they beat these guys on the road. So, you know, Jacksonville kind of has that 0-2 record, but they're not that bad. Their defense keeps them in games. If Minshew cannot make mistakes, and, you know, it's all about the defense. I'm just concerned about Ramsey. I hope he goes out there and kicks some ass tonight instead of packs it in. Because if he plays with passion and he plays his usual game, I think it's going to be hard for Mariota and Tennessee. Mariota's one thing, Gabe, too. When you were at the Giants, when you were at the week one game with the Bills there, I'll tell you, versus the Jets, that was the game that I watched here on TV. And Mariota, other than he's worse than Winston this way, missing open receivers, it's awful. His accuracy sometimes is like, I'm like, wow. Like, it hasn't got any better from Oregon. Like, he's okay. He can make some throws, but man, he makes a lot of real bad throws, and that's dangerous against Jacksonville. I think this game's going to be a 3-4-point game. That's why I'm doing the old middle teaser. Give me four results. I think it's going to be tight.
I like your balls, Cam. I like it. Well, that came out wrong. That could be a Yang's going to play that.
Join the experts live on the air every day by calling in at 844-843-6879 to join the Fantasy Sports Network.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40...